Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 11th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those that were following were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heavens.' Then He entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when He had looked around at everything, as it was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12." This is the gospel of our Lord. Oh, we've come to the last Sunday in Lent. We've come to what's commonly known as Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, depending on how active the church is during the week. It's a Sunday where Jesus kind of flips things on its head. It's a Sunday where, although the crowd sort of get it, they don't really get it. It's the start of the Passion of the Christ, as we see throughout Holy Week. We see the crowds that are excited and they are exclaiming victory. As the hymn we just sang briefly mentioned, the palm branches were a symbol of victory. In ancient Roman times, they would wave palm branches to declare the victory had been won. And so as Jesus marched into the city, they were waving these branches. But still, we see that the crowd slightly misunderstood things. In our text, it talks about the kingdom of David has arrived, and they were excited for it and what that meant, because, as has been talked about before, they expected Jesus to be a conquering king, the king that came in, kicked butt, and took names. But what they seemed to have missed was the way that Jesus came in. You see, in those times, a king would enter a city in one of two ways. He would either enter in riding a stallion, which meant, "I am here to declare war, and I am here to take what is yours." Or they could come in riding on a donkey, which declared, "I am here to spread peace. I mean you no harm." And so it was interesting that the crowds, how they mistook Jesus' intention here. This is a Sunday that helps us begin our journey towards the cross. Again, getting to the cross and to the death of Christ and to ultimately His resurrection. It starts here with the crowds exclaiming, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Now, Hosanna roughly means "save us." And it's likely that when the crowds at this time were saying it, it likely would have taken on a connotation, which it was just a shorthand phrase for "praise God and for God's Messiah, for we are saved." But it's kind of odd, isn't it? At least I think so. That the start of the week that leads to the death of Christ is filled with shouts of joy and rejoicing and hope. It's always interesting to me seeing on social media and in churches where they do today in such a joyful manner, and rightly they should, as it is, we know Jesus' truly triumphant entry. But it's interesting because we often do what the crowds did, but we miss the fact that this is all leading to death. That the same crowds that were chanting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord, save us, we are saved," is the exact same crowd that very shortly later, when the spirit of the crowd or the zeitgeist or whatever we want to call it, that spirit of the crowd quickly turned into crucify him. So it's an interesting Sunday for us. But one thing that Palm Sunday does well is it helps us to look at community. As we've gone through different works of piety and works of mercy, we come to our last Sunday in Lent, where today we'll talk a bit about community and how important community is. In college, Dr. Malice, in my Bible classes, he would always ask us to name the characters in the story. And it was always interesting to see how often we forgot to mention the crowd. We'd mention Jesus, we'd mention the disciples, we'd even mention the donkey, you know, and the bystanders, but we'd often forget the crowds, no matter what passage it was that we were looking at. But the crowds and the community around us, they are important. And I think sometimes we may miss that. But it's my opinion, and I could be wrong, but as I've said before, I don't think I am, that one of the most important spiritual disciplines that we have is that of community gathering, of being present in a community together. It's my opinion that we cannot survive without community. We need some sort of community around us to be able to make it by. As I thought about that, I even thought about, well, what about hermits? What about those that go off and they live in the woods? What about the monks throughout history that they left the monastery and they went and lived by themselves? Some of them in a tall tower, some of them in a hermitage, some of them secluded in a cave. Did they not need community? And then I thought about the fact that they did, because they went away so that when they returned, they would be better set for their community. That they'd be better suited to help their community and to be a better resource for them. So even when there was times of going away, it was still for the sake of the community. So this idea of community is deeply important in our spiritual formation. I think even to my own life, the way that different communities have affected my spirituality and my formation in my life. I think of when I started high school and my family and I had just moved and I started going to Mountain View High School. I was at that time in a place where I was struggling with life and struggling with depression and self-harm and suicidal thoughts and all that other stuff. And the community that I surrounded myself with were people that were encouraging all that. They were people that, instead of trying to help me get better, they were also in the same places, and we were not a good community together. It was not a helpful community, but I was looking back, seeing the way that they shaped me, because they edged things on, and they continued to push them in a negative direction. And then seeing how all of that changed when I changed the community I was with, when I changed high schools and started going to South County, and when I got involved in it with a different group of people, with a people that had a different spirit about them and a different way of handling things and going about things, seeing how drastically my life and my formation changed because of who I was with. And so imagine with me, if you will, for a moment, the community that surrounded Jesus and how it changed so quickly. Because again, it wasn't a long time. We go from Sunday hearing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the Son of David. This is the one that will save us." To just a few days later, crucify him and free Barabbas. We don't want him. It's amazing how that change occurred from "he's the one to save us" till we want him dead. That community changed pretty quickly. And we see how it obviously affected Jesus. Jesus went in being proclaimed as king to being mocked as king with the sign above the cross. And so I wonder, and if you would imagine with me, I wonder how they turned. Did they all turn away together? Was it all of a sudden some demonic spirit that came over them and they were like, oh no, actually, let's change everything? Or was it a few people who were tired of the way that Jesus was doing things, and so they started to rabble-rouse, and they started to cause trouble, and they started to speak with one another and begin to change the minds of a few of them, so that over the course of the week, everybody had their mind changed because the community started changing its mind? I don't have the actual answer to how that change took place. But I wonder, what are our communities doing that we're a part of? Again, I've mentioned that community gathering and being a part of community may be one of the most deeply formational spiritual disciplines we can do. And so I wonder, what are the communities that we're a part of? What are they doing? Are they leading us closer to Christ and into the Christ-like way, or are they leading us further away from it? Now, I hope I'm not heard wrong. I'm not saying that we should not be in the world. That's one of the issues a lot of Christians have, is that they hear something like this and they decide, okay, we're just not a part of the world anymore. We're going to be our own thing, not have anything to do with the outside. That's not at all what we should be doing. We need to be in the world. But my question is the world our main community? And is our Christian community just a side aspect? Is church and the kingdom, is that just something we do? Or is that our community with the world being what we're sent out into? Where do our lives lay? What is the community that is leading us and shaping us and forming us? Because whether we realize it or not, we're always being shaped and formed. James K.A. Smith, who's an author, has a whole book series that talks about the liturgy of the world, and one of his main analogies is the liturgy of the mall. You go to this community where people are gathered together, and there's pretty things in the windows. They're telling a story in the windows. You're entering in, and you're meeting with people, and you're exchanging things with one another. You're being shaped by what you're seeing and by what you're hearing, by what you're being told that you need. And he describes this a whole lot better than I'm doing now. I should have copied and pasted what he had to say about it. But then he goes on to say, I'm talking about the mall. Because the way he describes the mall can be very similar to how the church is described. To which he then asked the question, what are we allowing to shape us? Which liturgy, which community is having primary formation in our lives? Is the community that we're primarily a part of, is it one that's crying to free Barabbas so that he might attempt to save us by being the one who plays by the system of the world? Or is it the one, or is our community the one that cries, Hosanna, Messiah, Son of God, save us? It's interesting when we look at it because, you know, either our primary community is the church or our primary community is the world. It's either the kingdom or the empire, however we want to phrase it. But they both have a similar end goal of shaping us and forming us. Even in this Paul narrative story, I find it so interesting to look at the name of the character, Barabbas. You see, Barabbas is the Aramaic way of saying son of the Father or son of God, which is also who Jesus is. And so the crowds are being asked the question of, which way are you going to follow? are you going to follow the Son of the Father that leads by violence and that leads by playing the games and systems of the world? Or are you going to follow the Son of the Father who humbles himself and who gives for the sake of others? And so which community are we being a part of, and which one are we letting shape and form us the most? And then a question that I think we need to ask as well is, are we helping our communities to be one or the other? Are we helping our communities that we are part of, our smaller communities, our sub-communities, if you want, are we helping them to be a community of Hosanna? Are we helping them to be a community that sees that God is the one that saves us and that we are called to live a certain way modeled by a Son who emptied himself to become like us so that we may be filled and become like him? Henry Nouwen, who is a not officially canonized saint, but a beloved saint in my eyes, has this to say about Christian community. Christian community is the place where we keep the flame of hope alive among us and take it seriously so that it can grow and become stronger in us. And then John Donne, who wrote No Man Is an Island, had this to say about community. No one is an island entire of itself. Everyone is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. That we are all a part of one another and that we are all in community together, and there's no way for us to not be in community. And so the question is, what is that community looking like? We all influence one another's spiritual formation and our disciplines, and we are all a part of one another. So are we surrounding ourselves with those who will light our fire of hope that we may be useful and beneficial to the world? Or are we being surrounded by communities that diminish the flame and that slowly extinguish that light? Communities have the ability to shape and form us. They have the ability to give life or to take life. We see the community around Jesus. We see it being one of two community. Either the community that acknowledges that he is the coming king that will save the world, or the community that would rather do things in a way that works according to the world. There's either the Hosanna communities or the Crucify Him communities. So which community are we primarily acknowledging ourselves with and being a part of? And how are we helping our communities to live into hopefully being a Hosanna community, that we may be people that wave palm branches, not thinking that Jesus is coming and taking over the world, but rather waving them in victory, knowing that Jesus is redeeming the world? Would you pray with me this morning? What a strange paradox. The king is coming. The people rejoice. They sing out loud, "Hosanna in the highest," yet fail to understand that the king they welcome is the servant king. The king who washes the feet of his disciples. The king who came not with an army, but a weapon so powerful that not even death could resist, the sacrificial love of God laid out on a cross. Lord God, this morning as we sing our hosannas, may we remember also that which you were riding toward, the suffering, rejection, pain, humiliation, the cross. And let us look forward to the joy of Easter when you rose from death and you reign forever and ever. Help us as we daily lay our lives before you, just like those early followers laid their cloaks and their palm branches down before you, to live the resurrection life that acknowledges Jesus as Lord and King over our lives. Lord, help us as we think about communities this Sunday, to choose a community that is life-giving, a community that draws us closer to you. Lord, this morning we are gathered together in community. Would you help us to remember that our community is bigger than just those of us here today? That we are a part of the community of the kingdom of God that has been taking place from long ago. God, that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and that we have Christian sisters and brothers all around us, that although we may think differently or believe slightly differently, that we are all in this, working towards being a better Hosanna community. A community that cries out, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, the one who is saving us." Lord, as we prepare for Holy Week, would you lead us and would you guide us as we journey with you to the cross? Would you teach us what it means for us to take up our cross daily, to die to ourselves so that you might live? Lord, would you teach us what it means to be humble enough to wash the feet of one another, what that might look like in our world today, what it looks like to be a part of a community that gathers together to break bread and to drink wine together, even with those that have betrayed, those that have denied, those that have doubted. Would you help us be a community that lifts one another up? Lord, as we move towards your crucifixion, would you remind us of the great love that you've shown? Lord, that we, at our worst, decided that it would be a good idea to kill God. Would you remind us of your great love, that you love us so much that you are willing to show us the power of love? That as we rest on Saturday and as we wait in silence, and as we wait in unsurety or uncertainty, would you be with us in the waiting? And then, Lord, would you help us this upcoming Sunday to rejoice vibrantly, to remind the world around us that Christ is risen, and that Christ is risen indeed, that he is the one who has died, the one who is raised to life, and the one that will come again. Lord, would you help us to rejoice boldly next week? Would you take this time this week, this journey that we will experience with you, as a time to be formed and shaped so that we'd be ready to rejoice in the coming week? We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.